There's a lot of potential development places around, and also in the city centre. We were having quite a discussion last week, actually, about the Bear Pit and what's happening with that. Sure. Because, you know, the answer from the council's point of view, apparently back in March, was just to paint everything brown and to take away the public art that was there. Well, the public art was, the people who put it there were told, take it away. What do you make of the Bear Pit? I think there's just one of the little shops is now open again, belatedly, but it's mostly brown and mostly Harris fencing, whereas actually it was one of the most well-known public art spaces in the world at Christmas time.
Sure. I mean, it's a problematic space. It's on the boundary between so many things and lots of users and lots of possible conflicts and tensions, especially when homelessness is rising, when drug use is rife in some circles, and businesses struggling to make it a go. It became very difficult. Policing of it was a problem, but it's also been an experiment in sort of self-management, which, while far from perfect, seems to have been wiped away, cleared away by the council, which is unfortunate, really.
Well, I'm also joined by Robbie Gillett from Adblock Bristol. Can you first of all tell us, Robbie, what is Adblock?
Hi, Adblock Bristol is a citywide campaign to try and create a city that is free from corporate outdoor advertising and that celebrates the city's creative scene and independent ethos.
That sounds impossible. I mean, there's adverts everywhere, advertising hoardings everywhere.
There are currently advertising hoardings everywhere, but other cities such as Grenoble in France have done it. Sao Paulo in Brazil have also done it. So Bristol could potentially be the first UK city to go to get rid of its billboards and to have a conversation about what's the purpose of our economy for? Is it to sell us lots of new things, the new latest car, fizzy drinks, etc.,
or
is it
for something else? The evidence is the opposite, because the only billboard we had in town, as far as I know, at least one which was really in your face for lots of car drivers, etc., going past, was the one at the Bear Pit, the Cube, and that was running a Friends of the Earth campaign back in February and March, which was talking about how the city's got illegal levels of pollution. That was just literally pulled down by Bristol Waste. So that, I mean, that sounds to me like the tide is going in the opposite direction to the way you'd like it, Robbie.
Well, it was a tragic loss, the Cube in the Bear Pit. It was kind of the exception to the rule, really. It's not the only non-corporate, non-commercial public information site, if you will. There's also the Berg Arts Project in St Werburgh's, which has turned a abandoned billboard into a community art project by the Minor Road roundabout, and a new site similar to that is opening up in Bedminster. But yeah, I fully, well, and actually in other news, we are having some success in getting existing billboards taken down. Right next to where the Cube and the Bear Pit was situated was a huge doubly wide billboard, and the company there applied to turn it into a digital screen, and in doing so it emerged that they never had planning permission for their board in the first place, so we got that one taken down, and there's a few other cases like that. So
hang on, this is real double standards by the council, Martin, isn't it? Because there's the reason that the Cube was taken down apparently was because you had no planning permission, and actually what the city council should have done was to serve a planning enforcement notice on the people who were curating it and say, well, you need planning permission for this. That didn't happen, did it?
No, well, by all accounts not, and that is quite unusual, because I mean, having been chair of a planning committee, one of the Bristol planning committees for the last couple of years, up till recently, the council generally goes out of its way, the planning enforcement team go out of their way to enable someone to put right a development that doesn't have the right permission, to make it permission acceptable, if you like. And if we cleared away stuff that doesn't have permission, there would have been 14 houses knocked down over in the west side in Ashton, and there would have been all sorts of extensions and so on wiped out on various occasions.
So the council is sometimes it's trying to help people through the red tape, the other times it's not interested. Why is that?
Well, it's difficult to say. It might depend on who's trying to achieve what. But in a normal site where you need permission, you would expect to have to apply for it. And we have some other success in terms of establishing that something didn't have permission and probably shouldn't be there. My colleague Carla Denyer recently got removed from White Ladies Road a billboard, a broken down mechanical billboard that had been abandoned by all accounts. And that was removed because it was an abandoned thing, and there was no genuine owner. There was no genuine permission. So I think it's acceptable to deal with kind of eyesores like that.
Brilliant.
But
and
normally,
also,
something
I mean, it's
would,
also yeah. nice for someone like Robbie to come along and say, well, this is an eyesore, let's use it.
Yeah, I think Bristol is famed for its creative and street art scenes and for having a different version of what our kind of visual culture could look like. And so some of the projects that we've ran are to create positive alternatives to commercial advertising, such as the Berg Arts Project, such as The Cube. Rest in peace for now. So, yeah, we're a big part of what we do is
are
getting rid of
that. Hang on. What are you saying there? Is it going to be resurrected, do you think? You say for now.
Well, we, you know, never give up hope, right? The Cube was a great opportunity for lots of community groups in Bristol to share a message about air pollution or to defend the NHS. And the people who were running it were very open to community groups and campaign groups approaching them with new ideas for new artworks to talk about something else.
What about, I mean, you mentioned Grenoble and Sao Paulo. Okay, what tactics can we learn from these cities about how to do the similar sort of thing here in Bristol?
Great question. I think one quick thing is Sao Paulo conceived of outdoor advertising as visual pollution. So we've got conversations about air pollution, water pollution, noise pollution, and actually it was so busy and visually cluttered in Sao Paulo. It was super unregulated, and they described that as visual pollution, and the mayor, quite a conservative mayor, actually got pulled them all down back in 2007.
Yeah, and the other issue is you do actually need that sort of leadership, and you need a policy, you need a vision that we do or don't need to have this. And in Bristol, there we pointed out 2.5 years ago when the previous mayor wanted to bring in due to the desperate financial situation, wanted to bring in digital billboards on a series of sites, what he called the less sensitive sites in Bristol, in other words, sort of main roads in the inner city, And the idea was that this would provide income. And I pointed out at the time there wasn't a policy. We don't actually have a planning policy. There are only two grounds that can be used to turn down an application for something like a digital billboard, and that is highway safety or amenity. But amenity is about the visual environment. It is about the condition of our neighbourhoods and our streets and our the appearance of our kind of townscape and parks. And the idea that the council is so desperate it wants to put billboards in parks on main roads, as it recently did on Bond Street and around that central area.
Now,
it's quite worrying, really.
I can remember years ago, and I don't know if you read it, Martin, reading this book by Edward Abbey called The Monkey Wrench Gang, which is actually about people who decided in the United States that they had enough of billboards. They just took, in the middle of the night, they took chainsaws, sawed them down, and just simply got rid of them. And burnt them, that sort of thing. So that's criminal damage. But effectively, Robbie, that's actually what the council did with the Cube, isn't it?
In some respects, yeah, you could say that, but they've got the legal authority to do that. But Bristol has a...
Have they?
I don't... Yeah, actually, I'm not sure, actually.
I think Councillor Craig said sort of try her in court for taking them down on your show last week. I mean, the interesting thing is, if there is an owner, in fact, if there is a publicly funded installation or facility like that, then the council shouldn't be trashing it, of course.
And I will speak up for the Monkey Wrench Gang and those tactics that we saw emerging in the 1990s of not waiting for sort of big business or even local government to resolve a problem. Those guys, yeah, took quite radical measures. But also Bristol has a long tradition of subvertising, of course, of subverting adverts using often witty, humorous alterations to billboards. And that's put a smile on people's face for the last 30 years or more.
It's also it's non-violent direct action, really, isn't it? I mean, you know, nobody apart from the advertising hoarding is really suffering. Obviously, somebody in a marketing or advertising firm somewhere is tearing their hair out. But as we've heard, there's actually quite a lot of these are abandoned anyway.
Or don't have permission. They've been put up on gap sites, on bomb sites, you know, 10, 20, 30 years ago, perhaps. The owner might even get a few pounds for them, but they didn't have permission. And... And actually, often they do get very little money for them, but the constant advertising, especially if it's digitized and can be kind of changed frequently, is earning a lot of money for those companies and pushing the big brands at us all the time, which is not going to help the local economy at all, really.
Finally, Robbie, maybe you could just say something about these big digital advertising boards, because certain cities are having them. For example, if you've got an elevated part of the motorway, you'll see some enormous structure go up that's sort of flashing at you as you're driving past. This is getting almost like it's some sort of weird Blade Runner science fiction world. I mean, what's the state of play with those sorts of big boards here and digital boards in Bristol?
Yeah, it does start to feel like that when you visit other cities that haven't got organised resistance, if you will, to the new digital billboards. Going into parts of West London on the Westway, exactly that is sorts of scenes. There have been many planning applications from advertisers to put up new screens in Bristol, and it's kind of part of that kind of visual noise of the city. You know, our mobile phones and computer screens are noisy enough as it is, and let alone when you're out on the street to see more things flashing at you. We're trying to create a less stressed out, happier city. So we've had a lot of success in getting those new digital boards rejected, and then those companies have appealed to the planning inspector, and a lot of those appeals have been rejected on appeal again. So we are having some success, but it only happens if residents object to the planning applications when they come in, and part of our Block Bristol's role is to kind of spread the word, and there's two more in the pipeline as well. So,
and if I could say, I mean, planning committees, because of the absence of a local policy about the amenity, the visual side of it, which we could have when the local plan is revised in the rest of this year, but because of that, highway safety has been the only grounds we've been able to turn down some of these screens. And the committee I chair did turn down two screens that were meant to be looked at across the motorway from the outbound lane to the incoming lane and so on, and we turned those down, but we weren't able to resist the fact that a billboard just to your side as you drive into Bristol could get permission. So,
well,
we
all I can say, Martin, is thank you, because you probably saved lives and you know, stopped accidents by that. Because these billboard people don't care about they care about is reaching people, basically having some sort of weird flashing light which will attract your attention away from the when you're supposed to be driving. Anyway, Robbie, can you just tell us whereabouts people can follow what you guys are up to here, and girls, and find you online, etc.? I imagine you're mostly online.
We have monthly meetings, and you can find out where they are on our Twitter account, which is at Adblock Bristol, and I've got a website as well, adblockbristol.org.uk. Those are open organising meetings. We also have a localised group in BS3, everyone's
welcome. Which part of the city is BS3?
Down in Bedminster.
Okay.
Right, yeah, Bedminster Southfield, right? I don't live there. It's not my... Yeah. I suppose what we're trying to do is some people say, well, what's the big deal with advertising? We say, well, actually, the cumulative effect is wearing down our well-being, our environment, and our mental health. It's not just what one advert does. It's what they do every day over many years. So really want to have a conversation about consumerism, about public space, and about who has control of the visual realm of the city.
I wonder, just as an aside, has the BBC taken a great interest in what you're doing? Because they're supposed to be ad-free, aren't they?
Yeah, the BBC is an interesting model of an alternative funding model rather than having adverts pay for things. And yes, they have given us some coverage, and we're grateful for that.
Glad to hear it. Nice one. So that's Robbie Gillett from Adblock Bristol. Thanks very much for joining us. We're going to